We're going to read this together. Psalm 6. No, on your feet. Psalm 67. Let's read this together. Okay. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. May all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us and people all the earth will fear him. Amen.
Be seated.
I've always wanted to say that in church.
Be seated.
When I was a young man, I ran around the country frantically. And I had the opportunity, the privilege to speak in prisons and breakfasts and in schools. And I was busy doing the work of an evangelist. And then I grew up a little bit and churches asked me to speak on evangelism. And I would invariably start from Matthew chapter 28, a passage we know as the Great Commission, where Jesus said to his church, go into all the earth. And when I look back, I realize that what I was doing is I was somehow thinking that mission or evangelism was simply our responsibility. I thought somehow everything was dependent upon me, or at least everything was dependent on us. And this psalm became a really instrumental psalm in shaping my understanding of mission. One writer writes that mission doesn't begin with Christ's commission to his church. Rather, the mission of God flows out of the heart of God. Mission doesn't start with the church. Mission comes from the heart of God. So before we look at this psalm, I just want to remind you what you already know of what happened before. God revealed himself. God reveals himself throughout creation. The psalmist again says that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies declare his craftsmanship. God reveals himself through humanity because we are created in his image to reflect him, to represent him. But you know, and I know, that what we find after Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is the fall, where relationships with God become broken. And yet, in Genesis 3, God says that there will be redemption. And then in Genesis chapter 12, God calls a man called Abraham, a man who would be an octogenarian. And God says that you will have a family as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And through your offspring, all peoples will be blessed. What we've just read is a song. It's a song from the Jewish handbook. Songbook, a psalm that Abraham's descendants would sing. And there's just three things that strike me. The first is God's blessing upon his people. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. These people understood that God wasn't distant. God wasn't remote. God wasn't somehow detached, but God smiled upon them. Some of you will know, Tracy and I have become grandparents. And when I look at my grandson, I can't help it. When I see him, I smile. And bizarrely enough, when he sees me, he laughs. The reason is this relationship. And isn't it precious that these people, all these years ago, recognized that God's favor is upon them. But the second thing we find is they're singing a song, those who are blessed, about God blessing others. Just listen to these verses again. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice. Let the nations praise you. This wasn't a parochial people. These were a people who, at least at this time, understood that those who were blessed were called to be a blessing for others. I want to suggest that we, like Israel, need to get on board. We need to understand that although we have a call and we have a responsibility, mission does not begin with us. It begins with the one who blesses us, that we would be a blessing to others. And I believe that God is working in the church in this nation. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful not to align ourselves with those who speak well and celebrate sin. Because if we do so, we separate ourselves from the righteousness of God. And we need to be equally aware that we don't simply align ourselves with those who speak against sin, but with hateful hearts. Because if we do, we separate ourselves from the love of God. Instead, we align ourselves with Jesus. Because God had spoken to Abraham and said that through your seed, Paul argues in Galatians, not plural but singular, ultimately through Jesus, all peoples will be blessed. We align ourselves with the one who's full of truth, the one who's full of grace. As we come to the end of the psalmist says something interesting. Then the earth will yield its harvest. Up to now, the psalm has spoken about peoples and nations. Now the psalmist is speaking about the earth, an earth that has been cursed because of sin. A few months ago, Quill and I hosted The Big Issue here, and somebody asked what I thought was a great question about how Christians should approach environmentalism. And Quill answered the question by speaking about how we are custodians of the earth. And Quill said there's two bad things that happened for the environment. One is materialism and the second is war. Materialism ultimately says, I want what you've got. I want what I want, irrespective of the consequences. War means any targets just get kicked down the street. And the planet is in an appalling situation. And yet there is hope. There is hope because Scripture tells us that one day all things will be restored. Scripture tells us that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And so the song of Israel is our song, that those who are blessed would be a blessing. And so we've heard what Ed and Kathy have said, and we've heard about what God has called them to in Liberia, and how they're supporting their children, how they're flying in order to support other children. But I want to tell you this, that God may have a unique call upon them, but he has a unique call for you. Because I can't do what Ed and Kathy do, but I want to argue they can't do what I do. And I can't do what God's called you to. Because God may not have called you to Liberia, but God has called you to be part of this mission that flows out of his heart, that those who are blessed would be a blessing. And we're called in this church to worship God, to share his love with Wallingford and the wider world. That's your family. Those are your neighbours. Those are your colleagues. That's your social community. Ed and Kathy can't reach them. I can't reach them, but you can reach them. And God calls us, therefore, to be people, men and women of the word, who proclaim truth. Men and women who step out in works, good works, that reveal the heart and the love and the grace of God. He's called us to be men and women, not just of the word, not just of works, but who believe God for wonders, who believe in a God who answers prayer and supernaturally meets needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to pray and to give to Ed and Kathy, but I want to encourage you this week to realise there's an old adage that if you're not a missionary, you are a mission field, that God has called you to be part of the mission of God that flows out of the heart of God, that those who are blessed would be a blessing to all peoples, because one day King Jesus will return. Amen. Let's just be still for a moment. Just want you to bring before God those people who are on your heart. If there's no one on your heart, pray that God would place people on your heart. People to pray for, people to share with, people to witness to, people to believe for. This is no disrespect to Ed and Kathy, but actually sometimes it is easier to go somewhere else and share with someone else rather than to share with your own. It may be that somebody's feeling that this morning. You can't share Jesus because you know your own life is out of sync. You can't share Jesus because you've said something, you've done something wrong. You're not sharing yourself. You're sharing his grace. You're sharing his mercy. You're sharing his forgiveness. I just want you to be encouraged. There'll be people here and you've shared for so long and you've prayed for so many years. And I think of John chapter 21 where Jesus called to the fishermen who had fished and caught nothing. And he said, cast the net on the right-hand side. Lord, we want to pray for encouragement. We want to pray for delight as we're caught up in the mission that flows out of the heart of God. We want to be a people who worship you and share your love and share your grace and share your truth with this town in which you've placed us and the world to which you call us. In Jesus' name, amen.